You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, God is Not an April Fool. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
In the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, we read that many of the Old Testament saints were horribly persecuted. Some were put in chains, others were placed in prison, still others were stoned to death or sawn in two. In a social environment of similar hostility and hatred, the faith of the early Christians was also vigorously tried and intensely tested. The tyranny directed toward innocent believers in the early church was terrible. The screams of the tortured pierced the air. The blood flowed as starved lions were often let out of cages to rip open the bodies of believers as crowds in the Roman Colosseum watched and cheered the animals on. Anyone in 1995 who questions the faith of these early believers can be sure of one thing. These martyrs steadfastly refused to give up their faith. And instead, these followers of the Lord Jesus Christ willingly, and sometimes even eagerly, chose to accept a violent and often pain-filled death for one glorious reason. They were absolutely convinced, beyond all doubt, that the central focus of their faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, was worth the torture, all of the pain, and even death itself. The rock-like conviction of the apostles Peter and John is recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 4. These two fearless proclaimers of the faith had been arrested. They were placed on trial, and they were threatened to speak no more to any man in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The threat of the persecutors was powerful, but the conviction of the persecuted was unbending. Facing their enemies, these apostles, Peter and John, rose to the occasion and said, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. But as far as we are concerned, we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and what we have heard." Many of you are listening to this message on the second day of April. In some parts of the world, the first day of April is called April Fool's Day. This comes from a tradition that dates back around 500 years. In our day, in order to make fun, on April 1st, some people try to humor their friends by giving them false information. And then when their friends learn that they have been deceived, they say, "April Fool." Well, today is April 2nd, and there is certainly a place in life for humor. However, God never gives His people false information. We don't trick Him. God is no April Fool, and when He speaks to us, God doesn't make us an April Fool either. For this reason, St. Peter, when he talked about the foundation of the Christian faith, said, "We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty." The disciples and the apostles were totally convinced about the message they proclaimed and the words that they wrote. In his epistle, the Apostle John writes that they had heard Jesus, they had seen Him with their eyes, and they had even touched Him. But more than that, they had also witnessed His crucifixion on the cruel cross. And most important, they had seen the resurrected Christ as He stood before them, with the crucifixion nail prints in His hands and in His feet. Several weeks ago, the New York Times reviewed a recently published book entitled "The Resurrection of the Body in Western Christianity." According to the reviewer, the author of the book tries to promote the opinion, as if it were a fact, that the idea of the resurrection of the body from the dead is a teaching that has developed in the church over the centuries. Now, of course, it is true. Over the years, the Christian church has made statements regarding the hope of the resurrection of the body. But it is totally false and extremely dishonest to imply in any way that the idea of the doctrine or the hope of the resurrection is an evolution of church teaching, a teaching which gradually developed in the years covering 200 A.D. through 1300 A.D. Listen now to the words of Job. Job lived many, many centuries before Jesus was born. Job looked ahead. He saw the Messiah, Jesus, as his Savior. Job, the hope-filled ancient prophet, was speaking for all sincere believers of every age, including our own, when he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And even though skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another." This confession powerfully and completely destroys the idea of any modern book which attempts to persuade the public that the hope of the resurrection from the dead is a recent invention or even an innovation. This firm conviction, this hope in the resurrection, is not a product of human imagination in recent centuries. The hope of the resurrection has been the hope of all believers throughout all of history. This same hope was alive also in Jesus' day. The Bible tells us that one day Jesus heard some very sad news. Lazarus had died, and this sudden death announcement brought grief and many tears. Later, Jesus spoke to Martha at Lazarus' tomb. "Your brother," Jesus said, "shall rise again." Martha responded, "Oh, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." You see, even in those early days, in the midst of their tears, and even before Jesus himself had been raised from the dead, these faith-filled followers of Christ had a living hope. And this is also why the disciples of Jesus were empty of all doubt and filled with faith and conviction. They knew, oh yes, they knew that Jesus was indeed the long-promised Messiah and their Savior. They had surely heard of the hope of the resurrection as it was taught in the Old Testament. And now they had also seen the facts of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ with their own eyes. Their faith was not merely built upon some emotion-filled and fleeting event. Even before his victorious resurrection from the dead, the divine Christ had been manifested before their very eyes. In his letter to the church in Corinth, St. Paul writes that after his resurrection from the dead, Jesus appeared to more than 500 people at one time. Now, before Jesus Christ's crucifixion, his disciples had never been deceived by their master. They were no April fools. They knew Jesus Christ. By faith, they understood that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. St. Matthew writes that one day, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. And Jesus was then transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Jesus. Peter then said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." This majestic and moving event was burnt deeply in the memory of all those involved. They simply could not forget it. The entire matter was more than emotion, and this is also why the Apostle Peter, sometime later, wrote the words of our text for today. "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we ourselves," the Apostle Peter later wrote, "heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." And so, dear friends, these facts of history and these divine revelations of God immediately became the foundation of hope in the early church. The hope of the resurrection did not evolve over the centuries. It was present from the beginning. Its roots go back to the beginning of time. This hope of the physical resurrection was clearly predicted centuries and centuries earlier by Job when he said, "Even though the skin worms may destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Upon this solid foundation of hope, the Apostle Peter then adds additional assurances for us today. And he also admonishes us. He writes, "And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but by men moved by the Holy Spirit as they spoke from God." The hope of the resurrection is not an April Fool's joke. The hope of Christ's resurrection is a solid rock foundation fact of history. And this hope is also what all of us need today. The Apostle Peter unabashedly affirmed that the Christian faith is built neither upon tales nor tradition. Christianity is built upon the facts. Jesus Christ is a fact of history. He is the chief cornerstone in the foundation of faith. This, of course, is indeed good news for all of us, including those of you listening by radio. Some of you listening at this hour may be driving in your car. You may have great concerns about your family. Others of you are worried about your health. These anxieties are not part of your imagination. They are very, very real. And for that reason, you need a hope. Yes, you need a hope that is also real. This is the hope that the Apostle Peter was talking about when he writes, "We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Peter here was speaking about the crucified Christ, the resurrected Christ, the ascended Christ, and that Jesus Christ who will surely soon return to take all believers to be with him forever in paradise. Oh, my friend, there is no reason for you to give up. There is a way out, and you can face your challenges. As a result of your past foolishness, you may have to suffer a little while as a consequence of your sin. But with Jesus Christ as your light, even in the darkest and most difficult days, there is always hope. Oh, to be sure, in days of difficulty, God's blessing of poetry can certainly lift up our emotions. And in weeks of worry, human counsel can often offer a new start. Poetry and human counsel, however, are only temporary cheer at best. For the long haul and for the real demands of life, you, my friend, need God's greatest blessing. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, you see, offers more than positive thinking. Jesus is power, and even the very words of Christ are living agents of cleansing, healing, restoring, and hope. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." Sometimes a doctor can heal his patients by giving them advice. But usually it takes more than that. It requires medicine. Likewise, when you seek help from God in Jesus Christ, don't expect all your healing and hope to result from religious advice. Take the better road. Go by faith to your gracious Savior. Jesus Christ is the way. Yes, He is the truth and He is the life. Jesus Christ is real. His words have life-giving power. His words are enabling. Jesus' words are more than religious talk. They are deep healing and life-giving spiritual medicine. And so, my friend, let this be a new day for you. Separate yourself from many modern religious trends which are going nowhere. In the beginning, they promise everything, but in the end, they deliver nothing. Don't expect any long-range hope from short-sighted theories. Modern paperback books issuing the latest religious advice are very much like a Roman candle. They certainly often dazzle the reader. They seem to offer immense light for living. But it is only for the moment, and then darkness sets in once again. Instead, my friend, by faith, hook up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get connected with Him. It was through Jesus, the Bible says, that the whole world was created. And it is also Jesus, the Scriptures teach, who is the author of our salvation. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Trust in God, believe in him, and have faith in the power of Jesus' resurrection, both for strength in this life and also for hope in the life to come. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, your sins, all of your sins, were paid for. Put this past now behind you and build upon a new foundation, the solid foundation of Jesus Christ and his glorious and victorious resurrection. Let it be so. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.